Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to The Process. It's your boy Ralph. Week 12, we're still alive. Let's get into it. Free fantasy football analysis. More right than not. But we have to see how that goes from week to week. Welcome if you're a first-time listener. This is the process presented by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. If you are a repeat offender, love a hard head, welcome back. For the new folks, where can you find us? A couple ways you can keep up with our podcast. Again, free fantasy football analysis. You don't have to pay for. Weigh in with, I think, some of the better picks during the week. Getting the game flow right, getting the script right, helping you understand how you might win seasonal, how you might win daily fantasy football, when your work pool, your home league, whatever it is, we cover all these bases literally free for you. Again, where to find us? www.tigerbombsae.com. That's the Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment website. Every podcast has a page there. You can click on the process page, listen to this podcast there, watch the YouTube video there if that's what you want to do. If you are on the go, you like to listen to your podcast through Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, something like that, Apple, whatever, not a problem. We can connect that way. Just search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, like and subscribe. You know how it goes. Then you'll get all the new episodes. If you do it that way, you'll not only get The Process, but you get all the other podcasts too. So true crime, NASCAR, baseball, whatever. If you are a social media person, Facebook, Twitter, easy enough, at The Process, TBSAE. Both ways you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and we can keep up that way, maybe some funny banter. But that is the important stuff. That is how we stay connected. As far as this week goes, we are moving into a different mode now. We have to get ready for the seasonal playoffs. We spend a lot of time trying to focus on daily fantasy football during the year because we should be gliding along with the season. But now is the point where we turn the ship back, right? Just veer the course just a little bit so we can get ready for what we came here for. For me, for all of us, this is going to be different. Depending on how much you play, maybe you're playing for fun, maybe you're playing for a little cash. Or maybe this means more for you. For me, I wish to heavens that I would have done better on the whole so far this year in terms of the daily fantasy part, like winning on DraftKings, stuff like that. But this is going to cover all that. So really for me, to be in so many leagues and to have an opportunity to win multiple championships means this is really important. You guys have championships you're trying to win. That's really important. So now we are ascending. We're going up the ladder. And so we need to turn our attention back to seasonal, as I just said. That's going to be the focus of this. Honing in on what we've been doing, and then we'll still have some DFS fun. But right now is the part where you've climbed through the valley, and now you're staring at Kilimanjaro. And we have to go climb it. And so get your gloves on. Make sure your boots are good. Make sure that pickaxe is ready because we're about to go up there and there's only one way to go. That's up. That's only one way to go. So let's get into all of that. We'll have our usual segments this week, of course. Kind of before we get into that, may just talk a little bit about the Thanksgiving game so it doesn't bleed into the rest of the show so much because we don't have any more buy or no buys this week, I should say. But in terms of what we saw on Thursday, you know, Detroit continues to be that lovable loser, in my opinion. Play tough football, but sometimes get bailed out, sometimes make a, you know, horrible mistake here or there. Maybe a call doesn't go their way. But story remains the same. At the end of the day, it's going to take wins to separate you from losses. And Detroit, again, losing another nail-biter. Depending on how you look at it, maybe Goff did enough. I think that there's got to be more. You lose this game. They took the safety, you know, so it's kind of like there are opportunities between coaching going for it and the players, you know, having turnovers and inopportune moments that really make some of these close games harder to swallow. That's probably going to be the thing that gets coach in the hot seat if they don't turn it around a little bit. Buffalo found a way to win. They looked better earlier, but Josh Allen started to taper off as the game went on. Looked like, obviously, the elbow, the arm, whatever. There was some problems, some comfortability stuff going on. Like I said, fine earlier. Whiffed a few of those outs. Whiffed a few of the outs. But they did just enough because of his rushing upside, right? Like, his legs aren't broken. So he's still able to take off and bring that upside for us as players who have him and for his team. And so they're able to win. They did lose Von Miller. That's a tough break. Maybe they can get him back for the playoffs. Certainly affects how they rush and who they rush and how many people they bring when they try to rush the quarterback in terms of Buffalo defense. So hopefully he can get back on them. And they're saying it's not an ACL tear. Still no timetable, though. In a close game, they win. If you're Detroit, you're just right back down in the muck. You know, at this point, the AFC East is, or the NFC East is, you know, taking those wild card spots. And so just not a loss you could have afforded yourself at the end of the day. So another tough one for them. Dallas taking care of business against the Giants. A had-to-have game for Dallas. And they were able to pound the rock with their guys. They look good. Taking enough pressure off Dak to where it's a complimentary thing now. Dallas secretly has one of the more well-rounded teams in the NFL. They're not really relying on one thing so much. Now, the passing game is there. Dak has a little bit of rushing upside. The running game is there. You got Pollard and now Zeke back healthy. Last two games really stretching it on. You've got Lamb at wide receiver doing enough. Schultz chipping in. They're trying to send whispers to OBJ. But the defense, Micah Parsons with the rush, I mean, they are doing enough. And so Dallas is a big win right here for them to get over this hump with the Giants. And so if you even look at that division, obviously still behind the Eagles, but ahead of the Giants, securing themselves that, you know, maybe that first wild card spot. You know, the Commanders are hanging around, so they don't want to be tough and, you know, stuck in that boat. But nevertheless, Dallas able to do enough at home after getting up early. And, you know, last game, New England and Minnesota, we could argue about the catch with Henry. Henry says he caught it. Looks kind of like he caught it. But Minnesota put up 33 points is the point. New England is a team that should be led by their defense because we know there's limitations with the offense in terms of passing, not so much the running game. But when they want to face better opponents, we understand that defensively, that's what's going to have to keep them in the game. Justin Jefferson got on them early and often, and that was the difference in the game. Like, he just couldn't be denied. Minnesota did what we see some of these other teams realizing, like the Raiders, like, just go to your guy, Adams, right? Like, there's no reason not to do that. So it's a little bit of what we saw there in Minnesota coming away with that victory. Again, I think, you know, a lot of people are very high on them. I'm not going to say I'm not, but, you know, they aren't as great of a team as you think. They're still not on the level of the Eagles. But impressive victory nonetheless, and a little bit more confidence, I would say, from Cousins is what I saw, what I liked. I thought that was positive. That's what they need if they're going to go far. So, all right, guys, that's what I got for you. We can get into our usual segments, starting with a little bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping, me fluff your pillow, me fix your team, housekeeping.
Into our housekeeping for the week. I've got to take a sip of coffee first. So first thing, how we did last week, talked about it in the opening segment, DFS, not so great. The cash game lineup in particular didn't do well. We capitalized on nailing Prescott and wanting to pair him with Lamb, but there wasn't enough production there. Dallas beat the brakes off Minnesota. It wasn't a competitive game, so we didn't get the push we wanted. So even though they won 40-3, it wasn't what we needed in terms of Minnesota giving us enough oomph, right, to fight back. And so had Prescott 3% owned. Just not a lot to go there. And he got 20 points, but no upside. Lamb, no upside. And Lamb was 50% owned anyway. Dalvin Cook, we went with him. They, for whatever reason, couldn't get the running game going. He got nothing. McLaurin underperformed last week. Duvernay was not the guy. You know, the Ravens chose to go elsewhere with the football. Andrews came back as well. You know, there's a lot missing from this last week. I mean, Cooks was serviceable, less than 1% owned. Steelers, 80% of people had this defense. So, you know, not the best week. And so the tournaments, you know, a little better performances with those lineups, but still nothing substantially hit. Nice call out on things like pairing Swift and Williams and figuring out that that's a viable thing to do. But on the whole, still a difficult week on the DFS side. On the seasonal side, really starting to round it out. Not a lot of teams taking, my team's taking losses because we are in a scenario where we drafted so well that it's on cruise control. Even the teams that have taken the injuries, we're starting to balance it back out now. Other people have injuries too, and so we'll all keep fighting on. Now, in terms of, you know, some of my teams that are not doing so well, maybe on the cuffs, you got to remember, there's a lot to fight for. There's a whole lot to fight for. If you're sitting at like 5-6, you might still be in it. You know, I'm in one of those scenarios too, where it's like, win this week puts me right back up in that playoff ranking. You know, even though a loss right now looks like you're down towards 7, 8, 9, everything is so tight right now. This is the time where the things that we've been doing are going to work. Holding on to Pacheco, now getting those two solid weeks. I gave away Najee, but hopefully you guys didn't. Hold on to him. That worked great last week. 23 standard points. We're now starting to see the wheels churn in some of the things that we've been standing still with, right, waiting for. The complexion of these teams, as we said last week, is going to continue to change as they go towards the playoffs. So a player like Pacheco, his case can only get stronger. As they, you know, win more games, secure home field, keep Mahomes out of danger's way, the case can only get stronger. So something to think about. Before we, I'll have to circle back to that just a little bit, but I don't want to get too off track. The first thing I had was the East in both leagues. That's where the competition is. AFC East, NFC East. At this point in the season, and things could change, but right now, if you look at the playoff standings, those two divisions have all their teams still in the playoff hunt, and so the guys that aren't in first, they are vying in the top seeds for the wild card spots. So every other league outside of the East, whether it's AFC or NFC, every other division, I should say, these guys are going to have to win their division to hope to get in. So just something to note right now, if you're looking at the standings, who's playing tough football, who's playing more meaningful games. These are where the meaningful games are being played. These divisional games that are still left are going to have huge implications for these teams. So let's watch that. Also now, we're over the trades. Trade life is over. All trades are done for most leagues. So you take an inventory with what you have and LFG, let's roll. Now is the time to move forward, as we've been saying. You've fixed some scenarios, hopefully, that haven't paid off, or if you got some upside. But whatever it is, make your depth chart and let's move forward. No more, or hopefully you haven't been just toggling between players each week or whatever. And in some sense, I hope if you have too much depth and it sometimes bites you because you start the wrong guy because you're picking, I hope you got rid of that problem. Simplify life for yourself, right? Like, make sure you have less choices so you can't make the wrong choice. Seems like easy enough thing to do, but we don't always do that. We want to hold on to everybody and pick and choose. You're going to lose if you want to play the pick and choose game. You need to start certain guys and like do it like a depth chart, or else you'll be in trouble, okay? But that's where we're at. Take an inventory of what you have, moving forward. What do you need to do? Who are you waiting to get hurt? Who are you going to start until that guy gets back? Make an idea now that you're going to stick to, as opposed to being like worried about this stuff, stressing about this stuff, make a bad decision at the end. The other thing we need to make a plan for is a tight end. It's a barren wasteland. And the reason why we got to talk about this is because if you have Goddard or Ertz, you're now in this club too. Andrews has been on and off, so like you've got him back now. But outside of him and Kelsey, that's it. So everybody else, we do need to make a plan. We can stream all day long because that's like what we all have to do basically. The opponent's tight end if you want to do that, you know, but if you're looking for something that people might not be on, I have faith in McBride to continue to get some looks and be a part of the offense the way Ertz was. He's a rookie. I think they want him to be the future. This is a good opportunity for him. in an offense that needs to do something if they intend on making the playoffs. So D-Hop can't catch it all. I don't think Moore is going to play this week. So there's some catches out there. On the other side of things in the NFC, Philly, if you want to look at Jack Stoll until Goddard gets back. You know, maybe people aren't looking at him, but if you had Goddard, put Stoll in there. They've showed a willingness to go to him before, and he knows the offense. Not going to get you the same points as Goddard would, but we're just saying if you're desperate, you don't want to stream your opponent's guy. Like, I'm facing Josh Allen this week in one league, so I picked up Knox. It didn't work out, but what do you got to lose from a bunch of dudes that are just randomly maybe score a touchdown, maybe not, right? So any of the guys that you probably want to have, somebody has already got them anyway. So these are, we're just kicking around ideas at a very barren position. Okay. In reference to some of those people who, like you said, have five losses, six losses, this next thing is for you. Play with confidence down the stretch. We're not going to play scared. We're not going to play angry. Don't be a little turd in the chat. Let's hold our composure. We can do great things from here. We can do great things from here. It's not always the case that, you know, you are leading the league the whole year, then you win it. Sometimes it's somebody who, you know, the dark horse bringing up the rear. So don't fade. Let's stay strong. And then the last thing we want to point out in our housekeeping this week is let's keep track of the handcuffs like Madison and McKinnon. These guys are very close to being league winners for you. If Cook goes down, Madison's, it's his job now. Nobody's paying attention to him. Another guy that might be out there is McKinnon, because if Pacheco goes down, Edwards-Helaire's out. If Pacheco goes down, then it's McKinnon's job, right? Or if McKinnon goes down, then it's all Pacheco. So these are just scenarios that are getting clearer. This is outside of the obvious stuff. We all know about the, you know, Fournette being out this week, so Rashad White, whatever. We're not talking about stuff like that. I'm simply pointing out scenarios that don't mean anything today, but tomorrow might, right? And so those are some guys we'd be invested in. But that's our housekeeping for week 12. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. Time for a little bit of Would You Rather for week 12. So we will dive into it here. So we've got George Pickens at Isaiah Pacheco. I know Pacheco's not in the best matchup against the Rams, but I think even for like Pittsburgh going up against Indianapolis, you know, not the best matchup either. But also, I'm just not buying it. There hasn't been great play there. So Pickens has been kind of pedestrian to me. I'll go with Pacheco because, as we were just saying in housekeeping, these carries have gotten condensed between him and McKinnon now that we know Edwards-Helaire is not in the picture. So a little less to be concerned with. Definitely Pacheco here. All right, Samaje Perine or Alan Lazard. Got to go Perine this week because we know Mixon is sitting because of the concussion. So if you've got those two and you're wondering who to put in the flex, yeah, I think I would go with Perine. Latavius Murray or Juju Smith-Schuster. Latavius Murray, I know the idea is like, oh, he's going to be the lead back in the Denver backfield because they got rid of Melvin Gordon now. There's not a lot of production there. There hasn't been much production there all year. This isn't a great football team. Juju Smith-Schuster was starting to come on before he missed time with the concussion. I like him to keep it going here. I like him to resume his role that they're carving out in Kansas City. Much easier opportunity to get points. I go with Juju. Chris Godwin or Rashad White. They're both in great positions this week. I'll go with Rashad White just because Fournette is sitting. And I think against this Cleveland team, you should be able to run the ball pretty well. Even though Godwin's in a great spot too. Dante Foreman or Jamar Chase. Well, Chase not going to play, as we now know. So let's go Foreman. Latavius Murray or Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks been coming on strong. It's not a great matchup, though, for Murray. I think it's a better matchup. I would probably say Murray, even though I just said his production has been down. He's going to be the lead back, though. Treylon Burks, I think Derrick Henry is the path to victory here. there's some other things they can do. It's such a tough matchup on the outside there. Let's go Murray in that one. Antonio Gibson or Joshua Palmer. You know, Palmer's in a nice spot because Mike Williams is going to sit. I like what he can do here, but I'll have to go Gibson because he's carving out a role and keeping it for himself in the backfield. No McKissick. It's just him and Brian Robinson. Gibson's been playing strong in the last couple of weeks. It's another soft spot. We'll go Gibson. Tyler Lockett or Rashad White. Let's go Rashad White, but Lockett's not in a bad spot this week. We want to play him in DFS. And then Brandon Ayuk or Rashad White. I would say here we got to go Rashad White, even though the San Francisco offense as a whole is in a decent spot. And Brandon Cooks or Jerick McKinnon this week, then I'll go Brandon Cooks. McKinnon, like I say, getting some work, but they're relying on Pacheco more and more as the weeks go on, so let's go Cooks. Michael Pittman or Rashad White? Rashad White. I know Pittman's the number one in Indy, but there's just not a lot of meat on that bone. Rashad White's the number one running back this week. Then lastly, Keenan Allen or Travis Etienne. Tough matchup for Etienne. Better matchup for Keenan Allen. I'm going to go Keenan Allen for sure. Soft price on DFS. I do think that against Baltimore, Etienne won't have as much room. Jacksonville are going to maybe try to have to play keep up. I think the game script goes away from him. Allen should be involved, so I would like him. But that's my would you rather for week 12. This is how it shapes up for me. Hopefully that helps you guys decide a little bit more of who you'd rather. And now it's time for the process to reload. And at that, it is time for us to take week 12 and reload. We already talked about the Thanksgiving games. We covered those. So let's move right along to Sunday, going to Tampa Bay at Cleveland. So as mentioned before ad nauseum, Fournette is out. Rashad White is going to play. So White should be in a good spot against this Cleveland defense. Very soft against the run, but also Evans in a decent spot, more so Godwin. Godwin has been Brady's primary receiver now that he's back and healthy, so we like him. Mike Evans is a tournament play this week. Always has the ability to catch one over the top. They look for him in the end zone, and Tampa Bay passes in the end zone a lot. But I'd have to say he's the second best option in the pass game behind Godwin. Julio's out there too, which keeps everything honest, right? Three guys that you got to guard, which is great for Brady, who I think has an opportunity to play well this week. I like him. But the whole offense, I think, is going to be humming a little more. They've had a week off. Things are kind of settling down for them. They want to be a playoff team. Now is the time, right? But Rashad White, great spot. The other side for Cleveland, you've got to run it with Chubb, even though Tampa Bay is decent against the run. You got to test that and see what they're about. Jacoby Brissett should be able to have a decent day. Had a decent week last week. He's shown up, done the best of what he can do. His receivers have let him down with some drops here and there, and not his fault. But Brissett should be able to get the ball to Cooper again. Peoples-Jones as well. I like him this week. And Njoku's coming back. He's in a great spot. We don't know if he's going to be on a pitch count or not. But if he's let loose out there, he could be a great part of keeping them in this football game. And then Hunt as well. They should be chasing. And so you want, you know, passes to him too. But he's probably the least of those options I like in the game that I do think that Cleveland should be able to keep close at home, but Tampa Bay ultimately wins on the road. Reload. Cincinnati at Tennessee. Cincinnati Bengals going on the road, Tennessee. Bengals are going to be tougher to beat in the air. This is why I was saying I didn't like Treylon Burks so much in the last segment. The easier path to victory is running the football against them. And go, oh, by golly, Tennessee's got this running back, Derrick Henry. King Henry. He's going to want to do what he does best, and that's run the football. So I'm envisioning a big dose of that that leads the way. Hooper's in a nice spot. I don't know how productive he can be, but Tannehill has shown he's alive. Two touchdowns a couple weeks before. So he's out there standing around. But ultimately, it's going to be Henry leading the way with these other guys chipping away at play action when it makes sense. Maybe Tannehill running a little bit here and there. Short yardage, touchdown at the goal line, something like that. On the Cincinnati side of things, though, you're not going to have Mixon. You got P. Ryan back there. You're not going to have Chase either. And so Higgins in a nice spot, but we like Boyd too. We like them both. I like Boyd. He wasn't in my DFS write-up. I didn't know Chase wasn't going to play keeping Higgins, but saying you could play Boyd too. You can even play in the gather if you want. But Burrow's going to have to pass. He's shown he can pass without Chase being there. He's going to have to throw the ball to keep them in this one. P. Ryan should be serviceable on the ground, but Tennessee's front is getting better as the season goes along. It's going to be their kind of a football game where they smash it through with Henry, and we'll have to see if Cincinnati can play keep up with their pieces that they do have that are healthy. I don't think they win this game. It's going to be a tough one on the road. I think Tennessee's looking for revenge from the playoffs from last year, and they might get it this Sunday. Reload. But wait, before I go on, again, Burrow, still in a nice spot. He's got a lot of work to do. I'm still going with him. I think he's the cash game quarterback. Like, you go with Joe Burrow because it's going to have to revolve around him if they have a chance. Now we can reload. Houston at Miami. This should be a fun one. We know Houston is terrible against the run. Jeff Wilson Jr. is in a great spot. Mostert's going to sit. Jeff Wilson Jr. in an even better spot. This is a free square for DFS purposes. We do need to take that. Outside of that, Tua and everything else can be activated off that. I don't want to get invested in the pass game and DFS just because they're ultra expensive, like $8,800 for Tyreek Hill. No, I'm not saying he's going to get blanked. I think they could easily catch one over the top, catch the defense sleeping. But he's expensive. Waddle's expensive. If you want to play Tua, you can. But the path to victory on the ground is so juicy. I just don't understand why you wouldn't keep it obvious in the year of all the chalk and just play what seems right. And that is Miami running the football. On the Houston side of things, they're going to let Kyle Allen have a run at it. And so for DFS, we want to play him because it's super cheap and Miami is a terrible defense in terms of playing against the pass. I don't know how much success he'll have, but if we can pair him with one of his cheap receivers, you can fit in a lot of cool stuff in a tournament lineup. So we'll try to do that. But in the real world scenario, he should have trouble. Miami defense is in a good spot for DFS cash game purposes. They're in a great spot for seasonal. They're in a great spot. You add Bradley Chubb to this defense, and then you're going to go out now. You're going to play Kyle Allen, right? I don't think this ends well for Houston. Definitely like the Miami defense. Pierce, I don't like this for him either. I just think that if the pass game isn't serviceable, then they can clamp down on him a little bit more. Not a lot to like in Houston with this one. I think Miami rolls. Reload. Chicago going to New York to visit the Jets. Fields, shoulder trouble, not the throwing shoulder, just dealing with a little soreness. Jets are a tough defense, though. They're going to get after him. I'm concerned that the O-line, not great. If he doesn't run around and he still might run around, make magic, and get hit and get hurt is the point. And so I think the Jets are a really tough defense. The tough matchup. I don't like any of the Bears receivers here. Komet, that's the road you want to play, if anything. Montgomery, going to be serviceable on the ground against the run. That should be a little bit simpler than trying to pass on the Jets, but it won't be easy either. This should be a game where the Jets defense in their home field advantage lead the way for them against the Chicago team that does not have a lot of options. The Jets are turning it over to Mike White. I think that's something interesting in DFS. I don't think I need to get there, but just something different. I think that when you see what you got from Wilson, hard to go down from there, right? A lot of ways you might want to attack the Bears, but with the new quarterback, we don't need to take those chances. You love to say the run. I want to say Robinson, but maybe he's just not catching on to the playbook as quickly as they thought. That might be the thing holding him back. He just seems to be going nowhere every week. Carter, this is Carter, right? Like, he's not setting the world on fire, you know? But, like, what do you want, 5-10 points? I mean, maybe, but that's it. I just think the Jets win this football game because their defense is going to be tougher on Fields, who's banged up, doesn't have a lot of help. And, you know, they'll be able to create some turnovers, get some short fields. I really like the Jets' opportunity to use both backs, win the game off the heels of Saleh and his D. Reload, Atlanta going to Washington. So Mariota is going to have to figure something out. Traditionally, the Falcons want to run the football, control the game that way, but Washington has been a bit tougher against the run. So Cordell Patterson, you know, Allgaier, I think these guys are in for a tougher day. Passing is the way. But the thing is, you don't have Kyle Pitts now. So it's only Drake London. I think that's too big of an opportunity to focus in on him. This team doesn't pass a lot or have a lot of passing weapons. Mahomes or Mariota's gonna have to hit everybody. He's gonna have to be a good distributor. If they're to stay in this game, he's gonna have to do something. So I do like him as a tournament play, but it's risky. That's why it's a tournament play. Atlanta's gonna have to run. I just don't know how successful it will be. They will have to run with Cordell Patterson. I won't pick it in DFS though, but they don't have a choice. They gotta hope their defense plays decently. McLaurin should be in a good spot though. Doesn't matter, you know, if AJ Terrell's back or whatever. He just hasn't been playing great this year. I think Heinicke has shown a willingness to get it to McLaurin. I know he let us down last week. We'll go right back to it. You know, Washington 6-5. They got to go with what works and win this football game. It's going to be him. Brian Robinson in a decent spot, but we really do like Gibson a little bit more. He's been the one flashing a little bit more. He's the one showing a little bit more in terms of catching passes. And so they're both in play. I'm not up for Logan Thomas or anything or any of the other receivers for Washington either. I know Dotson is back and you got Samuel out there. I think Dotson takes away from Samuel. Dotson has not been a high volume guy the whole time he's been there, even though he has had some touchdown production. So I don't want to go there unless you need like Millie Maker picks or something like that. But this is a game that I think it's going to be too tough of a matchup for Atlanta for the way that they play and the thing that they want to lean on. They don't have enough weapons to offset that in the passing game. I think Washington can win this one. Reload. All right, our next one is Denver at Carolina. Denver's just been so bad. Carolina has a chance to win this game at home. You know, Denver's been bad but lucky. Latavius Murray going to be the lead back now. No Jerry Jeudy. You'd like to think Sutton can get it going again. You know, Hinton, maybe one of these other guys. But I'm not going to that well. Russ doesn't seem to be able to activate these guys at all. Carolina, I like them playing defense and Dante Foreman keeping them in the game. So I think that is more of how they should be able to create some short field turnovers and then like run the football in and win. I don't think the score is crazy here, but they're going to win this football game. I think home field will help them. Denver's pretty bad right now. Reload. Baltimore at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's just good enough to where I think Baltimore's going to have to play a good game. I think, you know, we like Lamar here for sure. You like Andrews above all the other receivers. He's got Andrews back from last week. We know he's going to be out there this week. That's perfect. Think you're getting Gus Edwards over Drake this week. I don't really care until we see somebody consistent back there besides Drake. So they're going to see what Gus has maybe. If you want to take a chance, you can. I just don't see the point in taking that chance though, period. Baltimore should win this football game. Their defense though, led by Roquan Davis, like you add Roquan into the mix here. And I think that they are so much more dangerous in terms of what they want to do. So I like the Baltimore defense this week. That leads the way along with Lamar and Andrews. But also for Jacksonville, you know, it's going to have to be Lawrence trying to do something through the air. Etienne, like I said, is a tougher matchup for him. Maybe he can catch a pass or two. That would be his path to production. But the thing I like most about Jacksonville and feel the most best about is Kirk in the slot. I think that's viable. They're going to need to play keep up. I like him above all else in a losing effort for Jacksonville. Baltimore on the road rolls. Reload. Chargers at Arizona. Murray's going to play. We like offense in this one. I like both quarterbacks. Like Herbert. Love Murray. For seasonal purposes, for DFS, I probably, probably go with, maybe Murray over Herbert. But I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to go Herbert. He's just a little bit more expensive. I'd probably maybe go Murray and try to fit in some of Herbert's weapons if you want. Because Murray, you don't have to fit in near as many weapons. But speaking of which, D-Hop is in a great spot here against the Chargers defense. McBride is in a good spot, but we'll have to see if he can produce. Connor on the run game is in a great spot as well. I like that. He's been asserting himself. I think this is another opportunity to play well. For the Chargers side of things, like I said, Herbert's in a decent spot. Allen's in a good spot. There's going to be no Mike Williams, so he's going to sit. So Josh Palmer's in another good spot as well. Gerald Everett coming back. Crush spot for him. Both offenses really going to roll. Eckler also in a nice spot against the Arizona defense. I don't see how one team is going to be able to stop the other. Vegas has a high total here. It very well could be that. I like all the offensive pieces that you'd want to use, including tight ends at both spots. So you can kind of play that as you wish. In terms of who's going to win this football game, I do think Arizona finds a way on the heels of Kyler returning to pull this one out at home, or else that stadium is probably going to riot. Reload. Vegas on the road going to Seattle. Vegas is going to need Josh Jacobs to run the football. I think that's the path to victory for them. Tougher matchup for Davante Adams, but he's shown matchups don't matter. So we can still go to him and feel great about that. Moreau's in a nice spot, but maybe you're just hoping that he's standing around in the end zone. That's probably it. But Carr is going to have to do some work, I think, to be serviceable. I don't know if I get there in DFS. If you need it in seasonal, don't feel bad about it. He's going to have to do some work. Jacobs can't do it all, but their offense is in a decent spot to score some points. Seattle, on the other hand, Geno Smith is in a very nice spot, but so is Ken Walker. He's also should be able to run the football pretty easily. And then their receivers, Lockett, Metcalf, these guys, I mean, that offense is also in a good spot. We could see points here, but I think Seattle defense is a little bit better than Vegas, and they're at home. I'm taking Seattle in this one, but again, for the Vegas side, I like Jacobs. I like Adams. I want to play them. If you want to play Carr, that's cool. If you need to play Moreau, that's fine. So I don't hate all those pieces. But Seattle, for sure, we like those better. I'm not playing Geno in DFS, but if you got to go there, don't have a problem with it. I just don't see a huge upside because Ken Walker's in for a really good day, too. Seattle rolls, reload. Rams at Kansas City. Rams been so bad this year. I think Mahomes and company can win this one, but it's like, how do you do it? Rams been decent against the run. I like Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, MVS coming back. I think just Mahomes alone should be able to do it, but I think the thing is their defense, the Chiefs defense, is going to play better than people are thinking, and this is why I don't think that they'll need to score a zillion points. It can shift to, you know, the defense has put us up, Mahomes has put it away, and then we can run a little bit more with Pacheco. I think that's kind of a little bit more of what we're seeing in this one, because I think the Chiefs, they can get pressure. So you're not going to have Stafford. You probably have Wolford, but you might not even have him. So there's not a lot to like here. You want to run the ball against the Chiefs if you can. This O-line for the Rams is very, very bad. So we know Henderson's no longer there. I don't really, you know, Akers or Kyron Williams. I mean, there's nothing there. There's not a lot of meat on that bone. They could get behind so much so that they don't have the opportunity to do that too, right? So if you want to play Tyler Higbee, that's probably the better play. You could play some of the receivers if you want to, but too much questions at quarterback, which is why I want to say the Kansas City defense. This is why I don't think the offense needs to do so much, which is why I think that there's a potential that it's a run flow sort of a deal to wind out the clock. But I think easily Kansas City wins this one. Kelce never in a bad spot. Play him for sure. Pat Mahomes always playable for sure. They win that one going away. Reload. New Orleans going to San Francisco. New Orleans defense been decent this year, but San Francisco is really good. I think CMC should have an opportunity to run the football here. I like him. Definitely for tournament purposes this week. But Debo, we don't know if he's playing or not. I like him. I would play him in cash games. And have somebody to swap him out with, like Metcalf, if he doesn't go, because it's a late game thing. But really like those two for sure. Like Jimmy G because of that. I think there are other quarterbacks that I like over Jimmy G. But if you want to play him, that's fine. San Francisco defense should be in a nice spot. I think Landry, if you really need something, you're desperate, flex, sure, go for it. They should be trying to keep up. Kamara not in a great spot. I think Olave will probably get a lot of attention, but I do like Landry on the under. In a game that I don't know that they'll be able to win on the road. San Francisco defense in a nice spot, but it should be more of a San Francisco game. I think as far as New Orleans goes, Kamara's probably too expensive. So unless you have him in seasonal, play him in seasonal, that's fine. But even going to Johnson, who's been decent at tight end, I don't know against San Francisco. There's just not a lot to like there. Niners should roll. Reload. Green Bay traveling to Philly. Philly's a much better team. I think Philadelphia should be able to run the ball. Miles Sanders should be able to run the ball. Passing against Green Bay is a little bit of a tougher thing to do. But A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown. I would say this is a game where maybe they get Stoll involved. So, like I said, if you're desperate at tight end, perfect time to roll him out. But this is a Jalen Hurts game. We know he likes to run it in at the goal line. He can definitely score touchdowns with his legs. I like to play him probably naked without the wide receivers because the Green Bay secondary has been so good. But if you got these guys in seasonal, Devontae Smith, you know, Brown, play them. Don't feel bad about it. I like Brown more than Smith. But the run game, Miles Sanders, you know, in a decent spot if they can get up and if the Philly defense can keep them, you know, in the game and keeping them ahead. For the Green Bay side of things, you got to try with Aaron Jones and run the ball. I think Philly thinks that they shored up their problems by, you know, signing Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. So it's going to be a big test, but we'll have to see if Aaron Jones can help establish himself, which keeps Green Bay in this game, because passing against them is probably not the thing to do, whether you're looking at the outside or the slot. So not too in love with Rodgers and his broken finger or those receivers this week, but Jones, I definitely like him. I like Philadelphia. I like their defense. I think that they're just a better football team. They can win this one at home. Reload for our final shot. It's going to be Monday night, Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. I told you, Kenny Pickett, big flop for me. Najee Harris, give this man the ball. Should be no Jaylen Warren running, so, you know, more opportunity for Najee Harris. And the easier way to, you know, take down the Indianapolis defense is through the run as opposed to the pass. So don't like any of these Pittsburgh receivers, but I like their defense going up against Indianapolis, and I like Najee Harris. They can control the game that way, and I think go on the road and get a victory. For Indianapolis, I don't know if Ryan is going to have enough to get to beat the rush. T.J. Watt is back now, so I like Pittsburgh a little bit more there. And, you know, they could run the ball a little more too. I could see that. So Taylor, I don't have a problem with him, but I think Pittsburgh defense causes too many problems for this Matt Ryan, Jeff Saturday team, and they just end up losing. Pittsburgh wins on the road on Monday night. But that is our reload segment for this week, so hopefully that gives you a little bit of what I'm thinking about game scripts to help you guys make some decisions this week. And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week. On to our DFS picks. We'll make it quick and simple. Start with our cash game. The quarterback, Joe Burrow, we mentioned it. Even without Chase, he's going to have to, even more so without Chase, because I don't think people will be thinking about it. But if they're going to win that football game or have a chance to win it, it's going to be because he kept them in the game. So we have to go on him. He has enough weapons to get it done, for sure. Wide receiver-wise, Devontae Adams cash game. Again, I like it. Lock it in. I don't care about the matchup. I think it's good. I think people will be scared off by the price. Kirk, $6,500 for the Jaguars, Christian Kirk. This guy's in a good spot, too. I think they're going to be playing keep up, and he's the way to do it. Also, cash game wide receiver, $6,800, Deebo Samuel. And as I mentioned before, if he doesn't play, swap out with Metcalf in the late game at $6,500. We also like Chris Godwin at $6,000 for cash game wide receiver, and McLaurin at $5,800. No, he busted us last week. The price is so soft, we got to go back there again. Tight end, Mark Andrews, $6,500. That's the way to go. But Gerald Everett, $4,400, I think is a great play this week. He's back, no injury designation. And if you need a bottom out, Evan Ingram. That's the only other weapon besides Kirk that I can see having a chance to score some points. $3,200, he could pay that off this week in the game. They'll be trailing. The matchup isn't terrible for him. I like it. Running back wise for cash games, we got a bunch of certain things. You can pay down if you want to, because we got a bunch of certain things here. Josh Jacobs, $7,700 if you want to pay up. I think at some point you could to differentiate yourself from other people. But Ken Walker at $6,900, both those guys in the same game. Great, great opportunity for both of them. James Conner at 6,600. That's another crush play. Jeff Wilson Jr. at $5,900. That's, I think that is the free square, if you will. And then Rashad White, $5,100, the other free square. So again, these cheaper guys on the low end, no problems going with them. If you want to pay up with these other guys, Jacobs, Walker, that's how you do it. Defense-wise, cash games, Finns, $3,900 against the suspect Houston team. Jets, $3,300 against the Bears on the road. And then Chiefs, $2,800. Those are the cash game teams we feel very good about defensively. And then as far as the tournaments go, for tournaments, Lamar Jackson at quarterback, 8K. He's going to be the path to victory, and his receiving core is healthier. Let's roll there. Kyler Murray, $6,800. A lot of interest there. And then Brady, $5,800. Brady's so cheap, priced so cheaply that I like him versus some of these other guys. But Mariota at $5,500, if you want to try that, that's fine. But I think I go Brady over him. Kyle Allen at $4,800. So that we can do cool things like play McCaffrey, Henry, and Chubb in one lineup together. You can do that if you play Allen, Kyle Allen with Nico Collins. Just putting that out there. Wide receivers for tournaments. DeAndre Hopkins, $7,700. T. Higgins, $6,900. We like this even more. You can play him with Boyd, too, if you want now. But we like that even more with Chase out. Evans, $6,700. I like that. You could play him with Cooper if you want to. Amari Cooper, $6,400. Keenan Allen, $6,100. A little bit more of a chance there, but I feel like after getting his feet wet last week, his role will increase this week. I can see that for sure. But Palmer at $5,400, also in play as well, in a game that should have plenty of offense for everybody. Donovan Peoples-Jones at $4,800. Soft price. A guy's definitely a part of the offense. Jacoby Brissett looks for him. Last week with Brissett. But I like Peoples Jones moving forward anyway. I think Deshaun Watson has a rapport with him as well. He wanted him on this team. So the gravy train keeps rolling for a DPJ. Tight ends, Kelce, take a chance. $7,700, never in a bad matchup. Nobody else will want to pay for it. But if you want to get more reasonable than that tournament-wise, Kmet, $3,900. Njoku, $3,600. Moreau, maybe just standing in the end zone, $3,400. McBride, $3,100 from Arizona, taking over that Ertz role. And then Austin Hooper at 3K. Again, he's alive thanks to Tannehill last couple of weeks. Running back-wise, at the top, if you want to pay up, as I was just saying, McCaffrey, $8,800, Henry, $8,300, Chubb, $7,800. The way that I might do it is play all of them together in the Allen lineup. Just throwing that out there. Outside of that, more reasonable choices. Montgomery from the Bears, $6,400. Dante Foreman, $5,500. And then Antonio Gibson, $5,400. Those would be the other recommendations. Defense-wise, Commanders, $3,600. Great chance to take there. Panthers, $3K. And then Saints at $2,400 if you want to go there, too. Them and the Chiefs provide some nice bottom out for cash and for tournaments. Guys, that's our pick for this week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. You got any questions, you know how to get at me. Otherwise, we'll meet right back here, talk about how well we did, and keep our playoff march rolling on. Peace. The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.